Right now it's time for Appraise This with the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, of course, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. You can find them on the web at tqag.com, and you can find them on your radio dial right now and on the internet anytime at robinhoodradio.com on demand. But I demand that I hear from Tim and Greg.
Good morning.
All accounted for except for Jill. she's not here
she's
yet.
Tardy.
Well, the dogs must be misbehaving is all I can figure this morning.
Oh, that's all right.
There are no misbehaving dogs, just misbehaving owners.
Well, not that. No. Now I'm going to get it when she comes in because you said that. You know, I'm the one that has to face the music there, Greg.
Well, I'm paraphrasing. There was a. There used to be a, on public television, there used to be a lady, she was an English dog training person, and she goes, there are no bad dogs, just bad owners.
That was very good. That was very good. I like that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So now yesterday, this past Sunday, I have to pass this along to you guys. You've been in our area. Have you ever been to the town of Falls Village when you came to our area?
Falls Village. No, I don't think so.
Falls Village is a town of about 1,000 people, okay? Maybe 1,000 people. Small town. Beautiful little town. Every year they have a car show, and it started off as an anniversary for Jacob's Garage. It's now in its ninth year. This year on Sunday, over 800 people brought their classic cars. And, you know, you walk around and you look at some of the collectibles, which are absolutely amazing.
Sure.
And you also look at how creative people get with what they call rat rods, and they assemble cars from different car parts and stuff. But then you look at the true classics, race cars and everything, and you're amazed when you sit there and you say, well, 800 cars, there's a couple million dollars worth of cars sitting here right in this little town.
Easily.
It's amazing how everybody has gotten into that segment of collecting classic cars.
It's a big growing area.
We have here, it's funny you mention that because it's on a much, much smaller scale. But we have every month here in Stewart, they have a similar sort of thing where it's just a social thing, really. There isn't any competition for best and show and all of that. But it started with a few cars, owners who would get together with their hot rods or their old cars or muscle cars. And it started to gather people because they pulled over and said, oh, this is really, oh, I remember this. I remember that. Well, is that
so
how
nostalgic.
It got started? Yeah,
it's so
because and now every Sunday, or at least once a month, I should say, they have a get together where they just gather and they sit there for the whole day and next to their cars and talk to people,
Greg,
as they go by.
Now, I wanted to ask you both a question about this and see if it, and you tell me if it it's the same. The interesting thing I find about classic cars is you don't have to be a fan of classic cars. People just like to see things from the past and appreciate something that was done that holds some form of beauty visually from the past. Does that correspond to what happens with art auctions and stuff like that?
Well, most definitely, because the part of that is that they like to see it, especially if it's kept in a good condition, presented in a way, and it's in a parking lot with other cars. That's just that nostalgia factor of looking at, oh, I remember this, and it looks great. We have a couple of big shows around here that they do that. The Pine School in January, I think it is. They do a huge show, and that has been growing every year and drawing people, car collectors, and people who want to see that. Same thing with the Barrett Jackson auctions and Meekum auctions. People love to watch that, see what it sells for, and attract it. But in other areas, there are there's the desirability. Right now, that's really has been a growing segment of the marketplace. You're not going to get a whole bunch of people if you pull out all your Victorian furniture and put it out in a parking lot. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of people who are going to come by to see that. That's what museums house. And you see that there's changes. But if you see contemporary art or different things, the shows like Art Basel have really, they've done a great job in sourcing new up-and-coming artists, different types of things, getting the word out to people, and that's where they all congregate. So in different markets, it does make a difference. And
well, I think the one caveat I would add to that is the difference between the collectible car and, say, art. For the most part, everybody has had, when they're growing up, has had a car. Right. And I think for the most part, it's more of a nostalgic thing, because these shows are really social happenings.
Okay.
More than anything. Good morning, Joe.
No, I've been here and I've been listening and I have been silenced, but now I'm not going to be silent any longer. So basically, before you go down the nostalgia, and of course there is an element of that, but the thing that everyone hasn't mentioned is the relatability. You know, if you grow up going to museums, then you will naturally have that feeling when you go to a museum. Cars, because they are so prevalent, are relatable to it's a core thing. It's like, wow, a beautiful day. You know, it's, you don't have to have too much dialogue or it's a car.
And I agree, and you do relate to that. The difference, and I think what Greg is and what you're saying too, Jill, is that if you're not growing up with Depression glass or with contemporary art, you're not going to appreciate it as much, or you're not exposed to it. Cars, we are exposed to that and have been as a society for how many years?
Exactly.
Ever since Henry Ford rolled the first Model T off.
Right, but they're the Beach Boys. I mean, just this, like, there's music, there's movies, there's everything. And it's sort of based on that. It's a core. And what is so wonderful, just by the way, about the thing in Stuart, but particularly the thing in Falls Village, is it is, and this is the most overused word in creation, sorry, but it's totally authentic. In other words, it evolved because it was a celebration for Jacob's Garage, their anniversary. And it was literally out of, if you will, support your local, let's put on a show.
Right. That's so, the same thing with the Pine School. It's
we
the
put on
the
a,
Pine
they
School,
put on a car show.
Let's put on this show.
And it was so, you know, when I say authentic, just totally genuine. And people
were
like,
well received.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no one surveyed, no one marketed, nobody, you know, had focus groups, said, what do you think of the? They just did it. And there's a huge,
Well, it's very organic.
A huge and happy response to that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes to our quintessential meaning of what a collectible is. An item that when found in excellent condition.
It was never really meant to be collected.
Is never meant to be collected and is found in excellent condition, finds its market. And a collectible car is definitely that, because without a car, there isn't a person on the face of the earth that's a gross overstatement.
That's a very first world view.
You get my point. Who can't relate to that? So I don't know if it's 800 people this year. I can pretty much guarantee that next year it'll be, it's going to keep going and going and going. And, you know, then, of course, then they have to sell my favorite food, hot dogs. I mean, what's a car show without a hot dog?
Right.
So,
okay,
I mean, it spawns an entire event. And
it does. But what's interesting, too, and this goes back to the more you think about the exposure to especially automobiles. I mean, if you sit down and watch even 20 minutes of television and three commercials are going to be car commercials. If you watch golf or any kind of sports event, there's trucks and there's all these muscle cars and there's a whole variety of things that are being shown that in our subconscious, it is just so prevalent that this taps into it. And it's really something that I think that benefits. Because then people get together and they can talk about those memories and talk about, oh, look at this. And, oh, I never was able to afford one of these. But look, I can see it here and appreciate it. And that's what makes those shows successful.
Yeah.
It also is an area of collecting. At this point in time, there are those who collect really specific things, and it's not quite as organic as like the show you're talking about, where it just started out with a few guys who wanted to basically have bragging rights that they're fixing a car up and let's compare, you know, yours is bigger than mine. Mine is painted better than yours. And it's still those kind of shows are really increasing in popularity, and it's really much more at a organic level of enjoyment than it is, for example, some of the other areas like contemporary art. Not everybody can get together, you know. Right. Not everyone can relate to that, you know. Not everybody right. can relate to Jean Moreau or Picasso. Not everyone can. But everybody can relate to
a car.
Red Mustang convertible, right, for God's right. sake,
or a red right, something, so. There's a relatability, I guess, is a really good word for it. Let's
there is
just
so,
say
such, and we've been streaming some original series on Amazon Prime, and there's a show. It's about an attorney. It's called Goliath, and Billy Bob Thornton is in this. It's very good. Anyway, the part that really hit me is that he has a red convertible Mustang that is probably a 1960-ish.
A classic Mustang.
It's a classic,
yeah, probably a 65 Mustang.
Yeah, in that 1960s range, which I remember. And what's interesting, and this is the relatability, this is where, just in talking about this, and I never really thought about it till we were just talking about this now, is that when I was watching that, I thought, oh, that's really cool. I remember that as a kid. Because not that I had one of those, I had a pedal car that was a Mustang that my grandmother got
okay.
for me.
Okay, you have to post that, Tim. You have to post that photo.
On. I know. But the reason is that my parents had a blue. It was the Robin Egg blue Mustang. It was the stick shift. And I remember just that as a kid. And so it's all of that that ties into why these things are desirable. And to see this, I mean, it was in such great condition in the show. It's like, it's that same thing. And that's what people are drawn to are those memories. And that, wow, I remember this when I was a kid and I did this. And then it's amazing. Yeah, it really does. It's pervasive through our entire culture.
And now I'm going to have to challenge you to post that photo of you in your... in that jaunty little hat.
my little riding hat and in my pedal car.
And all I will say is I've watched both seasons of Goliath, and it is a great show. And that car does stand out. He's offered a new Prius to drive and everything like that.
Great shades of Starsky and Hutch.
It's such a good series.
Have you watched the full second season yet?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. We binge watched it in one day.
That's what I do. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, especially when you say, oh, no, what I've really done is X, Y, Z.
And I was so excited when they got him after he won the case that he got a brand new.
It's the first I've heard of it.
Totally restored Mustang red convertible, because his other one was in a little rough shape. So,
all right.
But speaking of, in Starsky and Hutch, there again, what is it? It's a muscle car. Everyone loves it.
Well, we are out of time already.
Oh, my God.
How does this
happen? It just flies by.
So I want you to go binge watch. Let's see. What can you binge watch that I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff out there that you can binge watch.
I have a recommendation for you. It's on, what is it, Bosch. So Hieronymus Bosch, and it's by Michael Conley. And it's a detective, and it takes place in L.A.
His name, Hieronymus Bosch.
And that's the name of the series, is Bosch. And I've read about 25 of Conley's books. I'm on another one now. And there's four seasons, and oh my gosh, really good.
and you might say that it's kind of as twisted as Hieronymus Bosch paintings.
All right, finally, to wrap this up, I recommend you binge watch The Hard Sun. The Hard Sun.
Okay.
All right.
We'll look for that.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
We'll see you next week.
I think you should all go outside.
After we travel to our annual conference in Jacksonville.
All right.
We'll be talking to you from Jacksonville next week.
All right, Sounds great. Don't forget your screens.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Jim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, a freaking frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This.